Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
As a parent, you know it's no struggle to get your kids to eat a hamburger or a chicken sandwich or French fries, but fish somehow doesn't always make the grade for kids. And so we're talking today about getting our kids to eat more fish and shellfish. My guest is Dr. Aaron Bernstein. He's a pediatric hospitalist at Boston Children's Hospital and a national expert on children's environmental health. He's also the lead author on Fish, Shellfish, and Children's Health, an assessment of benefits, risks, and sustainability. Dr. Bernstein, let's just talk about kids and fish and shellfish. Why? Why aren't they getting enough fish, and why should they be getting more?
Oh, that's a great question, and thanks for having me on the program. A long time ago, kids ate, as a portion of their diet, relatively more fish and shellfish than they do today, particularly kids who live on the coast. And so your question is a great one. Why is fish consumption and shellfish a lot less as compared to other animal sources of protein? And I think in large parts because parents have been scared away from it. They've been scared about concerns related to mercury in particular, and maybe some other pollutants. And some parents may be concerned about bones and a host of other things. And the truth is that when we looked at all of the evidence we could about, the pros and cons of eating fish and shellfish, it became quite clear that kids in the United States really would benefit from eating more.
So then let's address those concerns first before we get to some great tips on how to get them to do that. You mentioned, the toxicity and mercury and other toxins. So is that really truly the case? And what are some of the best choices if there are some that are higher than others in some of these toxins?
Yeah, that's a really important point. So the first thing I'll say is that I'm going to be talking mostly about the kinds of fish and shellfish you can get in grocery stores in the United States. The information I'm giving doesn't necessarily pertain to folks who are fishing for themselves, and that's sort of a different can of worms, no pun intended. By way of preview, I should mention that. But the first issue that many parents run into is mercury, and there are some fish that are readily available that do have mercury, and particularly canned tuna, which turns out to be one of the kinds of fish that children are more likely to eat. And the good news there is that not all tuna has the same amount of mercury in it, and particularly light tuna or skipjack tuna has the lowest amount. Usually you go to the store, you'll see albacore in a can or chunk light or light tuna. Go for the chunk light and light because that actually has, very little mercury in it. And there's a whole list, thanks to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, EPA, of fish where, kids can have 2 to 3 servings a week without really worrying about the mercury content. You can just search for, FDA seafood choices, and you'll find a nice table that lists, dozens of fish that would fall into the category. Even for albacore tuna or white tuna, which, is also available, having a serving of that a week in a kid is totally okay, too. Most people wouldn't necessarily buy big-eye tuna or bluefin tuna. Those are kinds of tunas that are much less available and generally are not tunas because of their mercury that I would recommend children eat. But the other side of it is, of course, the other kinds of seafood and fish that children regularly eat really are not risks for mercury. And these are, things like fish sticks, salmon, pretty much any kind of shellfish you can imagine. Most of these fish are not mercury concerns. And the concerns about toxic stuff in fish are generally low, especially when you compare it to other kinds of animal protein. So I think one of the things that's important to think about here is, there may be concerns about mercury and maybe a few other pollutants in fish, but on the average, with the notable exception of the mercury issues I mentioned, fish are as good, if not better, than most of the other animal protein sources that children might eat.
How much should we try and get them to eat if we're going to use the, light tuna, if we're going to try and get them to eat more shrimp or salmon? How much should we try and get them to eat?
Yeah, so, you know, in the ideal world, it's 2 to 3 servings a week, which is a far cry from where the average American kid stands today. By the way, a portion size in this realm is really about what would fit in the palm of an adult's hand. So it's not a huge amount. And that's for kids ages 4 to 7. It's about 2 ounces. For kids who are younger than that, it might be 1 to 2 servings a week. And again, the portion sizes are relatively small. Right now, you know, most families eat very little fish or shellfish at all. There are obviously some that eat a lot, but most kids are eating far more other animal proteins, pork, chicken, and beef. And one of the things we did in this paper we put out is really compare the nutritional value of eating pretty much any of the most commonly eaten fish and shellfish to the most commonly consumed meats, pork, and poultry. And there's really a very favorable nutritional profile for fish because fish tend to be relatively healthy in their fat composition. They are high in protein, and they have essential nutrients that kids really need, things like calcium and vitamin D. And shellfish can be a great source of iron, and for that matter, so can tuna. So they're nutritional powerhouses. They tend to have low amounts of toxicity, particularly if you're just a little bit savvy. And that's, I think, why the guidance from, you know, the USDA and the most recent National Dietary Guidelines suggested that kids should be eating more, as did the FDA and EPA.
So then what about things like oysters or, you know, raw fish? Sushi is a big deal. And some kids are willing to eat sushi or even California rolls that might have some raw tuna. Do we worry about raw fish and oysters and sushi and those sorts of things?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, any uncooked meat product warrants special attention. And I think that is a decision that's probably best made in the context of the individual child. You know, there are places in the world where children eat raw fish all the time, as a part of the routine cultural practice. Now, for most families in the United States, that's not the way it goes. Certainly for kids who may have underlying medical illness, particularly immunodeficiencies, eating raw fish, I would say, is probably not a great idea. But then it really becomes a conversation between the parent and their provider about what the right time to start those foods is. And the same with, you know, certainly, you know, have a similar conversation about raw meat products aside from fish. And I think because sushi is so popular and it may be enticing to kids, it may be a good way to get to start eating them seafood. But I think it has to be a decision that's made based upon the family's comfort and their medical history.
Well, and that's a good point. And as things like carpaccio and raw meats are not as common, as you say, sushi is very popular. So it might be a good way, because it's served attractively, to get our kids, if they don't have any, you know, other illnesses or things, to start eating some fish and really good fresh fish. One concern that a lot of parents have, well, me personally, I don't want to buy farm-raised fish very much, or certainly no fish like how salmon has color added. So what about wild-caught versus farm-raised? Because we hear a lot about that nowadays with the EPA.
Yeah. I really appreciate that question. And particularly with salmon, it's a great example. Most of the salmon that's available in grocery stores around the country and the restaurants is farm-raised. And, you know, all other things being equal, I think most people would say, you know, wild-caught salmon is a better choice in terms of many aspects, but the reality is for most people in most places, it's much more expensive and harder to get. And so the question becomes, well, what about farm-raised? And the truth is that farm-raised salmon, and particularly farm-raised salmon that's sourced from North American waters, and there's a lot of it, is increasingly sustainable, meaning that we're not using as much food to feed the fish, so we're not necessarily losing so many calories. And the issues around, you know, pollution and chemical additives have really been, you know, largely addressed, though not exclusively. I think the challenge for folks buying salmon, farm-raised salmon in particular, it can be very hard to know whether you're buying salmon that has been really raised to the highest standards or not. And that's something we need to work on. But again, I come back to this issue of if you're feeding your children beef, and you're feeding your children chicken and pork, the worst farm-raised salmon in the United States or Canada in particular is probably, just as good, if not better, from a, contamination or pollution standpoint. In fact, from a pollution standpoint, it's hard to fathom, than a lot of other meat products. And so I think part of the issue around farm-raised salmon dates back to a study that was done many, many, many years ago, just at the start of this, which showed very high levels of PCB in farm-raised salmon. PCBs are chemicals that are, endocrine disruptors. And the reality is that those levels of PCBs in farm-raised fish have been going down and down, as they have been in the American population. And at the same time, those PCBs can also be found in beef products and high-fat dairy. So, again, you need to not necessarily think about fish in isolation, but what is farm-raised salmon in the context of other things? And I think our big issue right now is we need more transparency in the marketplace about which farm-raised salmon are really being raised to the highest standard. And I think that's going to be fantastic for families, because you'll really be able to go in and say, I'm buying farm-raised salmon, but it's been raised sustainably, and that's available now, but it could be hard to see it in the marketplace.
And with no added colors to make the salmon look pink, I think is an important thing as well. So I'm glad you made that point, Doctor. I think it's important for parents to hear. So now let's get our kids to eat fish. How can we expand it past, as you said, fish sticks? I didn't even know that fish had sticks. And really, I didn't like fish sticks anyway, so I'm not really sure who's eating them these days. But, fast food fish sandwiches and the junk stuff. How do we get them to eat a beautiful piece of salmon with some dill sauce and rice on the side, maybe some black beans? What a lovely meal.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful question. So just to be clear, if you look at the data in U.S. kids, there are really three kinds of fish that children are eating. Tuna, which is the number one choice pretty much across childhood. Breaded fish, so that would be fish sticks or your fillet of fish or any, pretty much white fish that's breaded, is number two up until adolescence. And number three is salmon. And so how do we broaden the spectrum there is a great question. And this gets into another really important point about fish consumption in particular, and also shellfish, which is that the earlier we introduce these things, the more likely they are to be palatable to a child throughout childhood. And this is, quite clear to anyone who's raised lots of kids, where, kids earlier in life tend to be more adventurous in their palate, and it tends to narrow. Some kids come into the world, they only want to eat one thing. I think that the earlier we introduce these flavors, and even arguably during pregnancy, because there's some reason to believe that what mom eats and the diversity of diet mom eats may in fact influence the taste preferences of the offspring, that it will enable children to be, enjoy fish more. So I think that's critical. But the other reason that early introduction of fish and shellfish is important is that it looks like it's going to prevent allergies in our children. So there's been a major development in the realm of peanut allergy, which you may have heard about on this program, where we've realized that by delaying the introduction of nuts in the children's diets, we're actually potentially increasing their risk of food allergies, particularly to nuts, and that by introducing them earlier in life, particularly before a year, we may in fact prevent those allergies. And the data seems to indicate, the early data suggests, that's true with fish and shellfish as well. Now, that guidance needs to be taken very cautiously in families where there's existing and significant food allergy. But for most families, I think there's ever-growing evidence that the earlier introduction, this is in some studies as 9 months or even 6 months, can have a benefit to the development of allergy. And to be clear, that's eating fish, not fish oil, not a supplement, but actually the food itself. I think, in terms of getting kids to eat it, early introduction is good from the palate standpoint, but it also may be helpful in terms of mitigating some of the big challenges we have in child health in the United States today around allergies.
Well, that's a great bit of information, Dr. Bernstein, because I was thinking while you were saying that, so what age can we start kids and look for signs of allergies, and certainly talk to your pediatrician if this is something that you want to do and start feeding your children fish earlier. Talk to your pediatrician, always a good idea. Give us your best advice, Dr. Bernstein, what you would like parents, You know, some parents don't eat fish either. I love it. Every single kind. Give it to me. I'll eat all of it. But, and as a result, so do my kids because they've grown up eating these great meals. But tell the parents listening what you'd like them to know about getting their kids to eat more healthy fish and shellfish. Boy, there's so much you can do with shrimp. And maybe some of it'll hit home for those adults too that maybe don't like fish.
Yeah. So thanks for that opportunity to answer that. So let's keep this simple. The first is, if you're going to feed your kids animal protein, please try and feed them some form of fish and shellfish, and try and start under a year and even as early as 6 months. And some people might do earlier, but 6 months is a good landmark. And remember, when it comes to food allergies, kids who are 6 months really don't anaphylax. So the severe food allergies we don't see. So if a kid is going to have an allergy to a food, it's better to discover it then than when they're older and they can have a really life-threatening food allergy. And then, you know, make it a part of a rotation. So the second thing, and that's rotation both in terms of the, you know, you don't have to serve it every day and maybe once a week, maybe every couple of weeks, but have it in your mind as something to throw out and make it easy. So for families who are not doing anything, there are a few things that are easier than a can of light tuna. I have friends who literally will open a can and give the kids some fish out of it. That'll be good for some families. Some families may want fish sticks. Some families may already be eating fish. In that case, a part of the rotation is increase the variety. You know, Americans tend to demand stuff from the oceans. We want fish X, Y, and Z. We want salmon, we want tuna, and we want, flounder. But the oceans have so much abundance that is so similar to what we already like that we couldn't even tell a difference. And I know this because in restaurants and other places, people have substituted fish either surreptitiously or not, and people haven't noticed the difference. And so be open to the idea that the fish that's on sale or the fish that the fishmonger says is freshest is worth a shot, and the worst thing happens that your kid doesn't like it. Particularly for younger kids, their taste changed. So just because they didn't like it last month doesn't mean they won't like it 2 months from now. So the rotation piece, both in terms of having it on a regular basis and also the varieties, is key. And the last thing I would say is that one of the good things that's happened with fish and shellfish in the United States is that there is a labeling of where it comes from. So you go to buy fish anywhere, and it will have on it, it should have somewhere where it was fished from. And if you can, buy domestic fish and shellfish. And I don't say that because I'm patriotic, although I am. I say that because we actually in the United States have some of the best fisheries in the world in terms of sustainability. Not all of them are perfect, but on average, we're doing a really good job. Particularly important for shrimp. It turns out that the vast majority of shrimp right now is imported into the country. There are sadly huge issues with pollution and sustainability and labor issues with a lot of it. And it is extremely difficult to know with shrimp that's imported right now whether you're getting a shrimp that, might be heavily polluted with chemicals or bacteria or not. So if you can buy, you know, fish and shellfish that comes as labeled from the United States or Canada in particular, you'll be doing everyone and especially your kid a favor. So those are the three key points.
Great points all. And as I said, I love fish and I love getting my kids to eat it. And I'm one of those people that could open a can of tuna and put it on a beautiful salad and hand that to my kids with some mustard sauce or something, and they love it. So it's just about presentation. It's about role modeling and it's about sustainability. Thank you, Dr. Bernstein, for coming on. What a great topic and what an important topic for all of us to hear, because anytime we can get our children to eat healthier, we can help with that childhood obesity epidemic that we're facing in this country. So thank you so much. And you heard it here on Healthy Children, the podcast with the experts from the American Academy of Pediatrics, the gold standard in pediatrics. And we're here at Radio MD giving you this great information. Share the show with your friends. You can listen to it on RadioMD.com, iHeart, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere that you get your podcasts. So thanks so much for joining us today. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.